I'm talking to Megan Duffy, who is running for appellate court. Welcome to Women's Focus.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Well, why don't we start by talking about why you want to run? That's the sort of general question I've been asking, is why you want to do this and why you want to do what is essentially a somewhat boring job.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you. I think that it is the most interesting job. I have wanted to do this since I first became a lawyer, and I got to start out my law career working for Justice Bossin at the New Mexico Supreme Court, and I spent my first year out of law school up in Santa Fe researching and writing and watching how the court works and thinks and protects democracy. So I have always known that I've wanted to go back and do the work. And now, having practiced in the state all over New Mexico for 10 years representing clients, I can bring that experience to the court with the perspective of how the cases and the law impact every single person in our state.
So have you actually dealt with some of the cases or some of the opinions that you were doing the research on when you're in the court?
As a law clerk, I got to help draft the opinions that were being authored by Justice Bossin. So I got to research for those cases and prepare draft opinions. And so at this point, we were talking about, it's really neat because I can look back on some of the cases that I helped work on and see how they've been used by New Mexico courts and attorneys, how they've been interpreted and applied over the last 10 years. And it's really neat to have that perspective on things.
Do you want to say anything about Judge Bossin? One of the things that always comes to my mind is that he always encouraged clerks and other lawyers to come to our annual reception honoring elected and appointed women, and that always endeared him to me.
That's great. I didn't know that. He was an incredible mentor. First off, I think it was really interesting that he hired me even though I disagreed with him. In our interview, when we were sitting down and he was considering who to hire for his clerkship position that year, I had just written a law review article about one of his cases. And so the first thing he asked me is, so what did you think? And I said, well, I would have done it differently. And I was really nervous because I really wanted to work for him. He must have forgiven me for that answer because he offered me the job. And it was incredible working for him. He still, the way his mind works, it's almost like he can dictate a full opinion. It's fully crafted in his brain before he starts writing about it. And so he's just got this clarity of mind, the sharpness of mind, and this great understanding of the law and society and democracy that's really aspirational for me.
What sort of law have you practiced after you finished being a clerk?
Since I finished working for the court, I've been here at the Repke Law Firm for the rest of my career working with Carl. We're a small two-person firm. And most of the cases that we handle are estate issues and insurance issues. But really what they are is holding people accountable when some wrongdoing has occurred. For example, most of our estate cases involve money that has improperly changed hands, and we're trying to get it back to where it should go.
Oh. Yeah. Tell me what that means. How would that happen?
Well, for example, I have a case that we've been working on for about 4 years where a young woman, she lost her father, and because she suffers from some disability, he left his estate in a trust for her to be managed by his sister. And come to find out 2 years down the road after he's passed away that a significant amount of money is missing from the trust. And so we filed suit against the trustee seeking the return of that money.
Let's talk about what you look forward to doing as an appellate court judge. What kind of things do you think you'd be interested in? And one of the things I'm interested in is women wielding power. So,
okay, well, that's a great question. The thing I'm interested in about the work itself is that it's research, it's writing, it's thoughtful, and it's collaborative. So every case that I would work on as a judge would be decided in a panel of three. And so you have three minds looking at an issue and offering different perspectives on what the right answer is. And I love the research. When I was at the Supreme Court, you get to go back into the old law library where books are over 100 years old and one side's written in English, one side's written in Spanish. It's just really neat to look at the history of how law has evolved in our state and to know that the work that you're doing is contributing to that. So the work itself is really appealing to me. But one of the things that I think is remarkable about our appellate courts and judges in our state are that they do a lot of community outreach, too. When we were in law school, for example, the judges would often give time to come judge moot court, mock trial. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of community outreach and conduct court actually in schools all over the state so that children can see what the process looks like in action with real cases. So, mm-hmm. so things like that I think are really neat, that not only is the work exciting, but the way that you can show the community and bring the courts to the community so that they understand what it is that the courts are doing every day is interesting and exciting, and I hope to be able to do that.
That sort of leads into what was going to be my next question, was that it seems as though with the work you've been doing, you've been in touch with people and kind of writing things in their lives, making them right. And if you are on the appellate court, you're sort of divorced from that.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, that didn't occur to me until after I decided to run, that I would be giving up this practice that I love and work that I love. And I really have adored working with Carl for the last 10 years. He's a great law partner, mentor. And so, yeah, it will be a really different change of environment. So I won't have clients anymore, but I will have intelligent colleagues, and I will have... It is work that I will love doing every day for the rest of my life. So I'm not too worried about it.
Okay. So you feel as though you can make that statement because of the experience you had as a clerk.
That's right. And in my practice, you know, we're a small firm. And so when writing projects come up, those are usually my assignments or my projects here in the office. And mm-hmm. so I've gotten to do it from both sides. And I've always enjoyed that side of the law practice the most.
Okay. Why did you get into law?
I wish I had a short answer for you. When I was working on my undergraduate degree and I was studying political science and history, I was taking a lot of courses about the formation of our government and then how the law has applied and changed over the years. And so it was really when I was studying the labor cases and the civil rights cases and the evolution of the Commerce Clause in our Constitution, and reading these cases, stories about how people have put their lives on hold for decades while a case that they're involved in winds its way through the courts, and the effect that those cases have on how we live every day, it was really powerful to me, and I was just taken in by it, and I knew that that is something that I would want to work on every day for the rest of my life.
Once you got to law school, you weren't put off by all the stuff you have to slog through in order to get there?
No, I love it. You know, when I'm not campaigning or working right now, I mean, usually my wild evenings are to be curled up with a book, so this is right up my alley.
What kind of other things have you done in the community?
Probably the one that I'm the most proud of is in 2012, a couple of law school classmates of mine came to me with the idea of starting a nonprofit in Albuquerque. And we launched in 2013. It's called Albuquerque Involved. And the idea is that a lot of people want to contribute and give back to the community, but we don't always know where to start. And so Albuquerque Involved is a way to get involved, whether it's through giving time, through community volunteer opportunities, or giving donation that we give out as a grant every month. But it offers a monthly way to be involved in your community as much as you want it to be. And it was really neat watching it form as an idea and then launch in 2013, and it's still going strong here in 2018. And I think at the beginning of 2018, Albuquerque Involve just gave over $100,000 in grants mm-hmm. since our launch, so that was a neat landmark to watch. Unfortunately, as part of running as a judicial candidate, I had to resign from the board of directors because of the fundraising component of the nonprofit's work. But it's neat for me to watch the nonprofit succeed and grow in our community and what it's done.
Do you mean that you had the idea of having a nonprofit, but then you must have had to go out and raise the money to make it?
Well, so the idea behind Albuquerque Involved was originated with Dathan Weems. It was his brainchild. And so I was just part of the founding board that helped get it off its feet or get it on its feet. But the fundraising really comes through a membership. It's people decide to become a member of the organization and commit to donating an amount every month. And I think the average contribution is somewhere around $25 a month. And so it's really the members that do the fundraising. They give every month as a grant, and the contributions of all the members are put together as a grant and given out to a nonprofit in the Albuquerque area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
good.
It's neat.
Are you from New Mexico originally?
No. So I was born in Illinois in the suburbs of Chicago, and my parents moved down here 20 years ago this year, right when I was getting ready to start college, and I came with him. My dad had accepted a job transfer down here, and they lived in Chicago their whole lives. And so it was really neat to go someplace totally new that none of us had ever been before, and I fell in love with New Mexico. Mm-hmm. And so my mom is still here. She lives over on the west side. We lost my dad last year, and so it's just me and my mom here in Albuquerque now, but we love it and we want to stay.
It seems as though it's kind of early in your life to want to go and to appellate court, to want to decide to be a judge when you obviously are in the middle of a practice that is working out and that you're happy with and you feel fulfilled. So how did you decide to make that decision now?
There were a couple of factors that went into it. I've always known that I wanted to pursue this at some point in my career, but the decision to do it now, one, is motivated by how badly I want to do this work. I love it and I want to contribute. But also because there's this incredible movement happening all over the country right now where women are running for office. I'm very inspired by that. Mm-hmm. I think it's this incredible moment in history right now, and especially in this particular race where the makeup of the court will change significantly if all five Democratic women win their elections in November. We will have the first female majority on the court in the history of New Mexico, and not by a small margin. It will be 8 out of 10 women, which I think no other court in the U.S. looks like that right now. And it's incredible, and I want to be a part of that.
Oh, that's exciting. Tell me what you imagine it would be like, not just having women on the court, but what women would do on the court.
That's an interesting question and a hard question. It's hard to imagine how having a female majority is different from having a male majority, which is what we're used to throughout history. And I say that because we haven't really had that opportunity before. We were, however, New Mexico was the first state in the U.S. to have a female majority on our Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. So that was neat. All I can say is the women that I've been running this race with, I've gotten to know them over the last year. They are incredible. They are intelligent. They are hardworking. And so I think working with them will be an incredible experience, along with the women that are already on the court who are phenomenal.
One of the things that I'm wondering about, people say different judges bring different experiences, and I can understand that that's true, but there must be a certain amount of the work that is simply applying the law, and how does that change? That doesn't change.
So your experience informs your understanding of certain areas of the law. So when you go to a court like the Court of Appeals, having a background in a particular area of the law is helpful if a case comes up with that type of issue. But truly, there's not going to be, because the caseload on the Court of Appeals is so diverse, it's every type of law, it's every issue that could possibly come up. You're never going to be at a point in your career where you have practiced and mastered every single area of the law. And I think that's why the structure of the court in terms of deciding cases in groups of three is helpful, because you get different backgrounds, different perspectives. So my strength is that I've been in civil practice for 10 years. And, you know, every attorney can tell you that no case that comes through the door is the same. Every case is going to have a component of the unknown where you have to go and research what the law says on an issue. And so that's the basic skill that you need to have and be good at, I think, to be a good trial lawyer and to be a good appellate judge, is to be able to research something that's unfamiliar to you, figure out what the law says, and then apply it in your case, or as a judge, apply it to the case that's before you on appeal. But yes, the appellate courts, especially the Court of Appeals, because it is the first appellate level in our state, is bound by precedent. So cases that have been decided before on the issue control the outcome of cases that come up through the Court of Appeals. Where the real challenge lies is that, you know, we're still a relatively young state. We're just over 100 years old. And so often cases come up that have a new issue that hasn't been decided before, or there's a new law that our legislature has passed that hasn't been ruled upon before. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to need to research and figure out how the law applies in that particular case that's before you on appeal. So some of it will be old, some of it will be new application, and it will all be collaboration, which I think is great.
So you're really emphasizing the process of working together,
yes.
Which, of course, in practice, you probably haven't had that much except with your partner.
Yeah, in practice, I have that every day. If Carl were in here, he would laugh when I tell you this. We think differently about everything that comes through our office. We always joke that if we agree about something, that we're both wrong. So no, I think that's been my experience my entire career, is working with somebody that I don't necessarily see eye to eye with, but I think that gives us a richer understanding of the issues in our cases and what we need to look at, and we do a better job as a result of that.
Okay, good. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.